I would like to discuss a very, very fundamental here. The concept that I'm going to discuss today reaches far beyond tefillah. Far beyond tefillah. It is a concept in Judaism that will affect all areas of Avodas Hashem. The truth of the matter is that this shiur could be a standalone shiur on hashkafa in general, having nothing to do with tefillah. However, there is far-reaching implications in tefillah as well. And therefore, I'm going to discuss the topic in general. But the difference between a hashkafa shiur that I would give, where I would just discuss the topic in general, I am going to then sort of navigate the topic and show you how it applies to tefillah, and show you why it is I'm discussing it in this year, and not just as a hashkafah year. So let's begin. In the beginning, I'm going to quote a few gemaras. Some of the things I'll read inside, some of the things I'll just reference, but I quote all the gemaras inside. As you know, in this year, I don't like to say things without sources. I like to show you where the ideas sort of emerge. And so you see that they're based and they're rooted. That's really the goal. The first story, I'm sure many of you have heard. Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph. Shumaisa ben Achri Echad. There was a story about a guy. Shabal lifnei Shammai, who came in front of Shammai. Omer lei, he said to him, Geirani al menashe talmideini kol haTorah kula. Kishani oimid al regel achas. I will agree to convert if you teach me all of the Torah while standing on one leg. Dachbu ba'amas abinyan shebiyado. Shammai shoved him out of the room. Balufnei Hillel, he came in front of Hillel. Gairei, and Hillel converted him. Amar loy, by saying to him, da olcha sinei l'chavrcha lo savet. That which your friend hates, that which you hate, do not do to your friend. Zuhi kol haTorah kula. This is the entire Torah. Ve'idach perushahu. The rest is the explanation. Zil Gamur. Go in there. The fascinating thing about this statement, I'm sure many of you have heard this, Gemara. The fascinating thing about this statement is not that Hillel was presenting a very important concept in Judaism. That's not what's shocking about this, Gemara. Because it is a very important concept in Judaism. Although I might argue, is it the most important concept in Judaism? That's an interesting debate. Is it the most important concept? But let's say it is. To me, a case could be made for that, potentially. What's shocking to me about this Gemara is not that it's being presented as the most important concept. What is much more shocking to me is that this Gemara is stating that this is not just the most important concept, but this is the entirety of the Torah. The question that was asked was, teach me the entire Torah while standing on one leg. And Hillel responded, don't do to someone else what you wouldn't want done to yourself. That is the entire Torah, and the rest is the explanation. That is not even telling me that it's a prerequisite. That's telling me that everything is a manifestation of this. How could that be? Shemitah is a manifestation of don't do to your friend what you wouldn't want done to yourself. Tzitzis is a manifestation. I understand all the mitzvahs ben adam l'chavero might be. But all the mitzvahs ben adam l'makom, how does that all fit into it? It's a pella. What does he mean by that? So obviously we see this is a very, very important concept. But not only is this a very important concept, this is essentially the essence of the entire Torah. How does that make sense? If you turn to the other side of the page, we see that this is such a serious concept that an endless amount of suffering happened as a result of a violation of this principle. We know the story, the Gemara brings in Yavamas, the story of Rabbi Akiva. Amru Shnaim Esra Elef Zugim Talmidim Dayu Lola Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of Talmidim. He gave us out of Tipras. The Kulan Meizu Meperak Echad. They all died in one shot. Why? Once again, Mimnei Shalom Nagu Kavod Zebzeh. They didn't give respect to one another. And based on this, if we turn to the next side of the page, we know it says in the Torah, Loisikam Loisikdor Tfnei Amecha Vahavta L'Recha Kamoich Ani Hashem. You must love your fellow as yourself. Zokt Rashi, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ze Klal Gadol B'Torah. And the Sifsei Chachamim point out that Rabbi Akiva is saying the same thing as Hillel. That this is Klal Gadol B'Torah does not mean it is the biggest idea. It means it is the all-encompassing idea of the Torah. How serious is this matter? Not only did it affect Rabbi Akiva, but if we turn to the other side of the page, we will see that this is, of course, we know the reason that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, as the Gemara in Yuma on Daf Tes Amud Beis tells us, Mikdash Rishon, Mipnei Macharav, why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Mipnei Gimel Devarim, Shahayu Bo, because of the three biggies, Avodah Zarah, Gidei Arayos, and Shfichus Damim. Go down to the middle of the page, the brackets, Aval Mikdash Sheni, the Gemara says, Shayu Oiskim B'Torah, they were learning Torah, Uve Mitzvahs, V'Gemilos Chasodin, they were even doing Chesed. That's a wild one, right? They were even doing Chesed. Mipnei Macharav, why was the second Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Mipnei Shahoysa Boi Sinas Chinam. Because there was Sinas Chinam Lamdecha that comes to teach you, Sheshkula Sinas Chinam. Keneged Shalosh Averos. That Sinas Chinam is equal to the three Averos of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichus Damim. This, Be'emes Rabbeisai, is something we all knew. It's something we were taught. But something that we never really fully understood. Difficult to understand. How is this? V'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Don't do to someone else what you wouldn't have done. How is that the Klal Gadol B'Torah? How is that the entire principle? How is the rest of the Torah simply an explanation of that principle? And why is it that it's so serious that the very calamities that we suffered over the Golus, from the destruction of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim to the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, of which Golus we are still suffering, how is that justified that all that should happen as a result of either a lack of respect or a lack of love for one another? What in the world? I mean, it sounds like if you would ask me a nice idea, I would say it's certainly a nice idea. But if you ask me Chil Shabbos is much worse. And furthermore, I would even suggest that there's no formal punishment for Sinas Chinam, is there? If a person says, I hate you, and you give him a hasra, give him a warning, don't say that. I hate you, and they bring me to court. What are they going to do to me? What are they going to do to me?
Laugh.
Laugh. No, they want me to laugh, so I'll say it's not nice. But they want to, like, oh, I had a Mechal Shabbos, all these different things, kill someone, you know, like, what's it's nice. I don't, it's a, but it's the most serious thing in the whole Torah, the principle, the entire Torah, not the prerequisite, not the most important thing, but seriously. Everything, what does that mean? Okay. Rabbi Isai, there are all sorts of nice answers given to this. And they're all true. And they're all wonderful. A nice vartlach, you heard a tish. And they're all nice. But I want to tell you something. One of the reasons that I believe that at some point in a person's life, they have to learn Kabbalah. At some point in a person's development. Is because there's a level of Torah that's beneath the surface. And if you don't know the stuff that's beneath the surface, you don't really understand what's going on. In fact, in the introduction to the Arizal Svarim, Rav Chaim Vital writes that understanding Kabbalah comes from the Lashon of Bina. That's what Bina means, to understand Torah on the level of Bina. And why is it called Bina? Because Bina is a Lashon of Ben. A son. To be an Eved, to be a servant, you don't need to understand your master. You don't need to understand your master. Your master says something, you do it. You don't need to understand him. You don't need to get him. You just need to follow him. That's an Eved. And there's a Bechina, there's an aspect of service of Hashem that's Avdus. If a person, the Arizal says, doesn't learn Kabbalah, doesn't learn deep Hashkafa, he's a Lashana, he's a Bechina of an Eved. He follows Hashem, so he says. And there's an aspect of doing that. But if you want to be a ben, b'nei Yisrael, if you want to be like a son is more than just follows the will of his father. A son has a relate, gets close, gets his father. That's a lashon of bina, of understanding. That's lahavin. One of the things that initially attracted me to the study of Kabbalah was the idea of really understanding how things work and understanding the mitzvahs, understanding why we do them, everything like that. So, in order to really understand the thrust of this idea of Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha, instead of just giving a nice little vartlach, which there are thousands of them on this, to really know the real answer as to why it is that this is the essence of the entire Torah, we have to turn to Kabbalah. Only Kabbalah will teach us this. Okay? There's only answer, the only legit answer out there, in my opinion. Okay? That's what we're going to do. What we're going to look at is one of the deepest svarim in Kabbalah called Shar HaGilgulin, the gates of reincarnation from the Arizal. Okay? I'm not going to explain reincarnation here. Does Judaism believe in reincarnation? To what extent? That's out of the realm. It's an interesting discussion. I'm happy to do it. There's actually a beautiful piece in Sichas Aran about it. Maybe we'll get to it. Maybe we won't. But there's a very interesting discussion. It could be an hour-long shir just on Gilgulim. But that's not obviously the purpose of the shir. But we're going to do a quick deep dive, a quick dive, I should say, into the topic just to extract one fundamental idea that will help us in this year. In the beginning of the psicha, the introduction to Shar HaGilgulim, it says in the bottom, Kol ha-neshamos klulos ba-Adam HaRishon. All neshamas were included in the neshama of Adam HaRishon. That's right. Kol ha-neshamos haya klulos ba-Adam HaRishon kishenivra. All neshamas were included in the neshama of Adam HaRishon when he was created. That's what it means in the Torah when it says Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim, that Hashem blew life into the neshama of man. Okay, so all the neshamas existed in Adam HaRishon. That means if you ever want to debate why it is that I have to suffer as a result of Adam HaRishon's sin, what's the answer? You were there. You were part of it. Okay. That's the simple explanation. Now, not simple explanation. That's the Kabbalistic explanation. However, ukishachata Adam HaRishon, when Adam HaRishon sinned, what happened? What happened? So we know the Torah tells us what happened. He got kicked out of the Gan Eden, and all sorts of things happened to him. He recognized his nakedness. He was destined to die. All sorts of things we see that the Torah says. But now the Arizal is going to explain what happened on a Kabbalistic level. What happened to Adam HaRishon when he sinned? Nishru Evara Vinaflu. What ended up happening was a tremendous big bang. Not the big bang that they talk about in science, but essentially the neshama exploded. Blew apart. Va'oz, what happened was like this. There's a following division. Neshamas hama'ulais, the higher level neshamas. Shem eruach neshama chayichida datzilos. I'm not going to explain to you what that is. These neshamas were unaffected by the sin, and they flew up above. Most of the other neshamas fell into the underworld. They became trapped. Only a few of the neshamas remained by Adam HaRishon. Now we're going to skip down one paragraph where he's going to create four categories of neshamas. Nimsa. Turns out, sheyesh arba chilukim be'inyan neshamas. There are four categories of neshamas. Aleph. One. Ha neshama sheparchu l'mala v'loy nifkamu. There are certain neshamas which the chassidim, which Tanya refers to as the neshamas of the tzaddikim. These neshamas were unaffected by the sin of Adam HaRishon. Now why that is and how that happened is out, again, out of the realm of the shir. This is a shir that has many branches. We can go off into each one of these things. But again, I'm just going in for the purposes of bringing out one idea. So that's one category of neshama. Peis. Hanishamas shenishtayru bo litzorach atzmai. There were certain neshamas that remained by Adam Arishan. V'loy naflu l'klipas. They didn't fall into the underworld, so to speak. Avaka amar nifkamu shechata b'hem. That nonetheless, they were impaired and damaged because they contributed to the sin. Gimel. Hanishamas shorish l'kayin v'hevel. There are certain neshamas that went down as an inheritance to Kayin and Hevel. Gam heim nifkamu. They were also impaired by the sin. Aval kivan shlohoi baruch l'tzorach atzmai. Since they weren't specifically for Adam Arishon, lo po b'machei kolkach, the sin did not affect them as much. And finally, Dalid, ha-neshamais shenaflu le'imkakripas. The neshamas that fell when became entrapped. Okay. So what? Watch this line. You ready for this? You're not ready for this. Ume'ata. And now, Avodas Ha'ish Ha'Yisraeli. The purpose, why is there a Jew? What's the Jew's job as a result of the sin of Adam Arishon? The Avoda of the Jew, Bitfilas, when he davens, Uve Mitzvahs, when he does commandments, Uve Mais and Toivim, and good deeds. What is he doing? You ever wonder, why are you doing Mitzvahs? Why are you doing? Because Hashem said so. Good. Eved. You make a good slave. Eved. In Eved Hashem says, I do the mitzvahs because Hashem said so. It's a madriga, by the way. It's an important madriga to have. The Gemara talks about it very highly. Avram was an Eved. Yeah, sure. Avdus is good. But it's a level. If you say, I follow Hashem and I do the Torah and mitzvahs because Hashem said so, of a very high level. But now we're going deeper. The avoid of the ish Israeli, when he davens, when he does mitzvahs, when he does ma'isim toivim, what's happening? Lo yitziyam me'imke haklipas. What he's actually doing is he's extracting these neshamas that are trapped in the klipa. Uletaknam. And he's fixing them. Kedei shiyuchlo lavo le'olam. So he can come into the world ulekayim taryag mitzvahs and fulfill the 613 mitzvahs litaken lios betachlis hashlemus, so that it can achieve perfection. And furthermore, v'day you should know kimasha amarnu shkol neshamos klulos v'adam marishon, that which we said that all the neshamos are included in other marishon, hainu means v'adam v'chava. V'ayvot adam v'chava ki neshamos haschorim heim v'adam, male neshamos come from Adam, when neshamas and nekevas heim v'chava. So for those of you in California, you should know this, that the neshamas and the nekevas are chava, and the neshamas of Adam are scharim. It's clear there are two genders. Okay, now.
That was the takeaway.
So what's the takeaway? The takeaway is something fascinating. What are we essentially saying? A major, major yesod in Judaism. The reason that the Jewish people exist is originally the tikkun was by Adam Arishon. When Adam Arishon messed up, the Jewish people took over, so to speak. What was the job that the Jewish people had to do? And why is it that they needed to do what they needed to do? Because there was a certain damage that happened when Adam Arishon sinned. There was essentially this one unified neshama that existed in Adam Arishon. And when Adam Arishon sinned, that neshama split and burst into many, many parts. So what is the job of the Jew? Through tefillas, through mitzvahs, through Torah, through gemilas chasadim, through all those things. What is it? Is to repair the Big Bang. Is to repair that neshama. And to make it whole again. That's the job of Torah, mitzvahs, tefillah, everything. That's what you're doing when you're doing the Torah. You're repairing the neshama. Rabbi Isai, once we understand this, we can now understand the real answer to all the questions we just asked. What did Hillel mean when he said, don't do to your friend what you wouldn't want done to yourself? What does he mean by that? What he means is the same thing that Rabbi Akiva meant. The same thing that Sinas Chinam does. Because the whole purpose of everything that you're doing, whether in Tefillah, whether in Torah, whether in Gemilas Chasadim, is repairing the Neshama and making it whole again. But if what you stand for in your very essence is pirud, is separation, is distancing yourself, is pushing away other people, whatever it might be, then what you're doing is you're undermining everything that a Jew stands for and everything a Jew is trying to do with his Torah mitzvahs, are learning Torah. If people look at learning Torah, that's a maisa. I'm learning Torah. What does it do? Hashem's proud of me. Good, Eved. Hashem said to learn Torah, you're learning Torah. You ever wonder why? Why am I learning Torah? What does Torah do? What am I affecting in the spiritual world? You know what you're doing? Your Torah is a spiritual force that's pulling all of the neshamas of Klal Yisrael together. The specific mitzvahs that you're doing are doing the same thing. They're each doing it in different ways. But the tefillahs, everything that we're doing is trying to repair the neshama. I'm not taking questions now. Okay? Now this has massive impact in every aspect of Avodas Hashem. Literally, as you can imagine. In every aspect of Avodas Hashem. Right? So obviously now we understand, by the way, a few things. We understand why this is Klal Gadol B'Torah. We understand why this really includes everything, including Shemitah, including everything. Because when you're following the laws of the Torah, whatever they might be, the purpose of that law is in some way to do tikkun haneshama, to bring that neshama back together. If you violate a mitzvah, what are you really doing? You're reversing it. Exactly. So if that's what the entire purpose of everything and the function of what everything does, then essentially, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha doesn't just mean love other people. It's not what it means. It means zeh klal gadol b'Torah, because it's really the essence of everything that you're trying to do. Okay? So again, I am not going to go through all the sources. I bring down all the sources. But I'm going to outside, I'm going to show you how expansive and how all-encompassing this idea is. Okay? We'll start off something the Arizal says about tefillah himself. He says, why is it? He talks about one of the things that we do in tefillah. You remember the ascension that we did? One of the things that we do in tefillah is to sort of travel and connect all of the worlds, all of the worlds. So in this first piece in Shar Tefillah Perek Zion, he says that the real job in Kabbalistically in tefillah is not to bring together all the worlds, all the spiritual worlds. That can't happen until Mashiach comes. Rather, what's our job? He says our job is lichlol haneshamos, to bring the neshamas of Klal Yisrael together, not the olamas. Once again, part of the avodah of tefillah is to bring together the neshamas of Klal Yisrael. The Balatanya writes it extensively here. This I am going to read. This is a fascinating piece. It's a very, very short piece. V'chol Yisrael, echad me'uriv b'chaveiro. This is his first piece on tefillah. All of the Jewish people are connected to one another. Masha chaser lazeh, nimsa b'chaveiro. This is a very important concept. What you're lacking, your friend has. Ukshi yitztarfu kulam ke'echad. When we all come together, heim kom ashlema ki yadua, we're all a unit. V'lachein and therefore. Listen to this. Kasher yitpareid echad mechavera be'zapirud. When someone has a separation with another human, with another Jew, kishinim tekes levav over etzono mimenu, he cuts himself off. Whatever the reason is, whether that's va'amida shelo, he doesn't like the way the guy's acting. Omi sichlo, he doesn't like the way he thinks. Vavodaso, the way he serves Hashem. B'milin shmai b'tarav tefillah, even the way in which he learns and davens. The kasher came to vavo to a certain extent in his own heart. Azhu mechuser b'mzimas libo ever echad. It's like he's missing a limb, and one cannot serve Hashem as a balmum. You're missing something of yourself when you haven't connected to somebody else. The nimsa she'ein shemoy shalem. Even Hashem's name is not complete. Val kein, and therefore, ha'chored ledvar Hashem, one who really trembles before the word of Hashem, talking about Wanglin, charedi. What does charedi mean? Charedi means chored, someone who trembles from the words of Hashem. Ma'oid, ma'oid, yizor b'zeh. Should be very, very careful. In fact, it brings down the Chassidus Mevueres, the Arizal. If you ever go to the Arizal's kever, for those of you who go to Tzvat or been to Tzvat, the Arizal's kever, what does it say?
Hareini mekabel alive ahav l'recha kamoichan. I always wondered, going to the Arizal, I expected it to say some heebie-jeebie Kabbalistic thing. Show me like hands going like this or something like that. You know, like make some like weird like squeaking noise or I don't know what. But ahav l'recha kamoicha, that's so seminary. What's that doing on the biggest in the kobol's kever? I expect some like crazy name of Hashem or something like that. No, v'ahav l'recha kamoicha. Once again, this idea, it's the deepest of Kabbalistic concepts. It's the idea. It's the whole purpose of the world is to bring that neshama together. And therefore, when a person daven says the first lesson that the Baal HaTanya has, the first thing the Arizal says is you gotta have in mind to connect to Gans and Klal Yisrael, and that my avodas atfila is about repairing the neshama and bringing the Jews together. That's the main tefila of davening. Based on this, the Gemara in Bava Kama says something fascinating. Listen to this Gemara. You're like doing Bava Kama. Sadi Beis of Anal. Maybe you haven't gotten there yet. Amar le Rava le Rava Bar Mari. Rava said to Rava Bar Mari. Minaha milsa the Amar Rabbanan. Where do we know this thing that the rabbi said? Kol mevakish rachamim al chaveru v'utzarech lo'isa davar. That somebody who asks mercy on behalf of his friend, yet he wants the same thing, hu nenet chila, that he will actually receive the thing first. Amar le'dechsev, we learn it out from Avraham and Avimelech. Vashem shav shvus Iov bispal bad reo. We'll get back to that in a second. First thing is Iov. Amar le'atam et mehosam. You say it's from there. Va'anam ina mehocha. I'll learn it from here. Va'yispal Avram Elokim. Va'yir Elokim es Avimelech. That Avraham davened to Hashem to forgive Avimelech, and Hashem healed him. Ve'es ishto v'amosav v'ksiv. And it says afterwards, Vashem pokad es Sarah. Then Hashem allowed Sarah to get pregnant. Kasher Omar. What is Kasher Omar? Kasher Omar Avram el Avimelech. As a result of Avram davening for Avimelech, that Sarah ended up getting pregnant as a result of that. So we see that somebody who davens for someone else, he will not lose. Not only that, it will be advantageous to him. Why is that? Once again, knowing Rabbi Yisai, one of the things I've been trying to teach you in Tefillah, if you ask me, al regel achas, on one leg, what am I trying to teach you in tefillah? I'm just trying to show you how the system works. That's it. That's my job. The way your tefillah can become more effective is by understanding the fundamental system of hashkafa. You can now understand where tefillah fits into that. So understanding how tefillah works is understanding that the main way in which tefillah is effective is by bringing the neshamas of Klal Yisrael together. That has to be our kavana. Therefore, memela, it makes sense that when we daven for someone else, we're actually doing that verbally. And therefore, as a result of that, that will increase the neshama of Klal Yisrael coming together, making the abundance from Shamayim flow even greater. And not only that, it's flowing through you. Now, this isn't to say that one can't daven for himself. I don't want to mistake in that. But certainly, you should daven for yourself as well. But one should also, the Gemara says, daven for his friend. And not only that, he won't lose. This piece from the Zohar, I'm not going to read through it. It's a long, long piece. But I'll tell you the bottom line of what this piece in the Zohar says. The piece in the Zohar says that David HaMelech said, Ki chosid ani, that I am a chosid. So we got into this argument with the Malach of the Frogs. And the Malach of the Frogs started arguing with David, saying to him, I don't understand. Why do you think you're such a chassid? It's because you stay up. I stay up even longer. Whatever, different things that he says. And finally, David HaMelech says, that's not what I mean. Ki chassid ani means that I'm a chassid. Why? Because I do chesed for Hashem. How do you do chesed for Hashem? I'm a chassid, I'm not... So he says, pshat and doing chesed is not just being nice and doing nice things. Chesed is also bringing the neshama of Klal Yisrael together by doing the mitzvahs. Not just, a lot of people misunderstand v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. They think it's just a matter of going ahead and being nice to other people, so I don't even have to be from. I don't even have to be from to be nice. No, that's only part of v'ahavt l'recha kamocha. That's the part ben adam l'chaveiro. What about the part that includes ben adam l'makom? What part that includes all the mitzvahs that bring the neshama of Klal Yisrael back together? That's a huge part and component of v'ahavt l'recha kamocha. That's why if you go back to the original Gemara that I quoted, you'll notice Rashi over there says something fascinating. This is a very, very fascinating Rashi. Rashi says, "The olcha sanei lecharach lo savid" means re'achav re'avicha al tazov zeh baruch hu. You have to be good to Hashem. Al tavar al devarav, don't go against His word. Lishnach rina is chaver chamamish. So, in other words, it refers to both in terms of v'haftu re'acha kamocha to Hashem and v'haftu re'acha kamocha of other people as well. And that's another way in which v'haftu re'acha kamocha is all-inclusive. Now, that's the Hashkafa piece. Why am I bringing this up in Tefillah Shir? This is the part where you have to kind of clue back in. I think one of the big questions that people ask in Tefillah, it's a big question that people ask, and it's a fair question. And up until now, frankly, I haven't really dealt with it fairly. Rebbe, you started off Tefillah Shir, talking about how I have to build my personal connection to Hashem. What's the best way to do that? The best way to do it, I said, is go out into the forest and talk to Hashem in your own words. So how does that fit? It is true. And I told you to do that. And that is something to do in Tefillah. And a person has to build his personal connection with Hashem. But how did we get from that to reading words out of a siddur that aren't even personal, that use klal principles that say Elokeinu melech ha'olam, you know, things like that include everyone, that are in a minyan with other people with me? How does that fit into the vision of connection to Hashem? But now we understand why. Now we understand why. Because the main avoda of a Jew, the main way in which his tefillah will be effective, is through connecting to Gantz and Klal Yisrael. That includes Klal Yisrael, all of Klal Yisrael. That includes Klal Yisrael that's here. And part of the avoda is to bring the neshama of Klal Yisrael back together. That is what makes our tefillah effective. That is what brings abundance to us. While davening alone in the forest is wonderful for your personal connection with Hashem, believe it or not, in terms of effect, it is not as effective as public prayer. It's not as effective as tefillah with a minyan. It is not as effective as using words that encompass everyone. This answers one of the most major questions in davening, which is, why does it say Elokeinu? Why am I always davening in plural? I'm davening to Hashem. I should be able to say personal stuff in my tefillah. Why am I davening for everyone? Just to be nice? No, it's not just to be nice. The problem is, your vision of who you are is warped. You think you are just you. You are not just you. You are part of a massive neshama. And once upon a time, that's what you were. You were part of a massive neshama. Today, we live under the illusion that we are individuals. And we are individuals, of course. We are responsible for our own actions. We have to take responsibility for ourselves. But we also have to try to take responsibility for everyone else. That's why there's a mitzvah in the Torah. If you see your friend doing something not right, you have to know the right way to do it. But you have to take responsibility. What we do affects other people outside of us. Of course, my learning Torah could affect somebody else. My Aveira could affect somebody else. How is that fair? In fact, I use this to explain, this principle to explain something fascinating. The Gemara in Brachos that talks about Rebbe Meir davening for someone to do tshuva. And the Gemara tells us that he did tshuva. How could that be? The answer is Rabbi Yisai. If you learn pshat that they're two separate people, it doesn't make any sense. But Kol Yisrael Revim Zelazeh, we're all connected on a deep Kabbalistic genetic level. We're mamish part of the same neshama. We're all one cluster. So everything that we do, imagine like this. Just think of it like this. Imagine I went ahead and I davened that my hand should have parnasa. I davened that my hand should have parnasa. What would you say to such a person?
You fool.
You davened that you should have parnasa. You, meaning it, all of you. A person says, I should have parnasa. And not you. He's davening for his hand should have parnasa. David, for God's sake, we all of them. We should all have parnasa. I have a personal request that's happening with me I want to talk to you about as well. Fine. You could do that too. Your hand has specific needs. The things that you're responsible for, of course you should daven for that. But to exclude the entire you from that tefillah is undermining, again, how tefillah is effective, and how it works, how the entire system of Torah works. It's a crazy thing. People think, how do I bring Klal Yisrael together? By doing chesed, by doing kiruv. That's certainly true. But learning Torah and doing mitzvahs is also bringing Klal Yisrael together. On a deeper level, yes. But it's also bringing Klal Yisrael together. The reason I'm bringing this up is davening, true davening, requires us to be more expansive outside of ourselves. I once heard a beautiful line from Reb Berg. I don't know if it's his line, or I don't know if you heard it from somewhere else. I heard it from him. He said, you want to know what the difference between a tzaddik and the rest of us are? The difference is, everyone has a circle. There are people inside the circle, and there are people outside the circle. For all of us, who's inside of our circle? We are. Our immediate family, hopefully. Some of our extended family, perhaps. Some friends. And everyone else is outside the circle. You know what difference between them and a tzaddik is? By a tzaddik, all of Klal Yisrael is in the circle. All of Klal Yisrael is in the circle. It's a crazy idea to wrap your head around. I can't even fathom that. All of Klal Yisrael is in my inner circle? Yes. A tzaddik really feels that all of Klal Yisrael, you are no different than my son. It's all within my circle. Davening requires us, Avodas Hashem requires us to be more expansive outside of our own needs. And the more expansive we are in our kavana, says the Gemara in Bava Kamma, the more effective your own tefillah will be for yourself. Daven for someone else. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm going to daven for you, you daven for me, and we'll both make more money that way. Come on, that's shtick. It's not what the Gemara means. It's classic way people learn Gemara. They learn it's such a narrow way. It's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara says, be expansive in your tefillah, widen your circle, and as a result, your tefillah becomes more effective for you too, because you're working within the system of how this works.
Wow.
Rabbi Isai, I give you a challenge this week. Just this week. Try it for 1 week. This week, you're not going to daven for yourself. At all. This week, you're going to daven for everyone else, not for yourself. Unless you have a very specific tzarech, let's say, for example, a specific illness, something. I'm assuming that. If there's a real, real tzarech for you and a real, real need for you, it's fine. But for most of you, I want you to try to daven. Look around you in the room. Look around you. Look at your friend. Ask yourself, what is he struggling with? Ask yourself that. I notice there's a guy in my shir who's struggling understanding shir. I'm noticing there's a guy in my shir who's struggling with this frumkeit. I notice there's a friend of mine in my community. I notice that there's somebody, you know what, I've been saying refrain all this time. I don't have one person on my list that I'm davening for. Today I'm going to change that. I'm going to write a few names in my sitter. I'm going to look on the 100 social media apps that I shouldn't have that I have, that are pouring over with all these sob stories of people. I'm going to read one of them. I'm going to have this person in mind. This person doesn't know me. I don't know him from a hole in the wall. But today I'm going to daven for him. For the first time, I'm going to connect to the second half of Shmoneh Esrei that everyone fudges through. Because once you get past Brech Aleinu, none of that matters. And today, I'm going to care of what's going on with this Klal Yisrael. The classic example of the kind of like sort of warped phenomenon that we're dealing with is, why would I want Mashiach to come? At the end of the day, that takes away my opportunity for a mitzvah. That is warped. It's so warped. It just shows how sick we are. What about how much Klal Yisrael needs Mashiach? What about how much Hashem needs Mashiach? So you might lose to a certain extent that you lose the opportunity to do more mitzvahs with the challenge, the Eitz Hara, whatever it might be. Get over yourself. If it's best for all of Klal Yisrael, it's best for you too. Whether you know it or don't. Who are we in this for? This is a team sport. We're in this for the team. We're part of the team. We don't, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the team. That's so foreign from our liturgy. We're so focused on this year's for me, everything's for me, for me, for me, for me. And my connection with Hashem, we're obsessed with self. And for the first time, Judaism requires us to be more expansive than just ourselves. It doesn't mean you have to sacrifice yourself. You can never daven for yourself. But we must be inclusive of everyone else. I urge you. Two things. Number one, to this week, try to have other people in mind in your interviews. Primarily. Almost exclusively. To the extent that you can. For 1 week. And the second thing, if you really, really want to hit this home, I discovered this only a few years ago, this beautiful, beautiful article. Very, very hard read. Rav Soloveitchik has incredibly difficult English. Rav Soloveitchik wrote an unbelievable article on Eov, referencing the Gemara I quoted that says the way we know that you daven for someone else, you yourself will be cured. The first source was from Eov. Essentially, I highlighted certain pieces. I'm not going to read through them. But essentially, the gist of what Rav Soloveitchik says about Eov is that when Eov suffered, Rabbi said is a lesson for life. Lesson for life. When Eov suffered, he initially got more suffering and more suffering and more suffering. And he asked Rav Soloveitchik, why? You know why? Because Eov kept on saying to Hashem, why is this happening to me? I don't get it. What did I do wrong? How could I fix it? Da, 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 da. And Hashem kept on pouring it down and pouring it down and pouring it down. And what ultimately fixed Eov? When he saw the suffering of his friend and davened for his friend. Once he davened for his son, Hashem said to him, and Rav Soloveitchik says it much more beautiful than I could ever say. Hashem says, now you understand that the proper response of a yid is not to ask, why is this happening to me? But how can I use this to be able to connect to other Jews? How can I use this to be able to associate with other people's suffering? And once we learn the lessons that we're supposed to learn from our suffering and expand ourselves beyond our own selfish needs, that's when Hashem is willing to allow us to move past those struggles and move past those sufferings. This is going to be a week in which you're going to do things for others. And if you think that I'm going to ask you only to do it in davening, that's as silly as me saying, think positively in davening, and as soon as you leave the shul, go back to your negative way of thinking. No. The point of davening that way is there should be a spillover into life. Rabbi Yisai, just like I'm asking you to daven for everyone else this week, live for other people as well. Which means, I want you to try to start sitting next to people that don't normally get sit next to. I want you to try to be sensitive to other people's needs. I want you to got to be kind. Obviously, no lashon hara. Only talk positive about other people. Try to be more expansive. And I'll tell you the greatest secret of all. The greatest pleasure in life. The greatest pleasure in life comes from giving. It's the greatest pleasure. The greatest lie of our world is that pleasure comes from taking. Because look at all the people that are busy their whole lives taking. You know what they are? They're miserable. All the celebrities that take, they end up in drug rehab. They end up killing themselves. They end up in terrible places. More for me. Look at the happiest people in the world. You know the happiest people in the world are? Contributors, givers, things like that. I always like to use this as an example. It's funny. Look at the guy. The wealthiest person in the world is Elon Musk. And what is he doing? He has a massive house. He doesn't even own a house. I don't know if you know that. He does not even own a house. He sleeps on the floor. He's a little nuts, yeah? He sleeps on the floor in his factories or Twitter, wherever it is he is, with five different companies. And what gives him simcha in life is creating for humanity, creating, giving. Learn from that. Don't learn from the celebrities who take. They end up miserable. You can't get simcha out of taking. You want to know why? Because simcha comes to connection with Hashem. And what is Hashem? Hashem is giving. Everything is altruistic. He gives. So the only way to get pleasure is to connect to Hashem, which means we have to give. Giving is the greatest pleasure. Today, make your davening and avodas Hashem all about giving for the next week.
Wow.
Take it with you.
That was a cheer.